Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers & Beer Radio Show. Stokers & Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he loves, he or she loves the most. Stokers & Beer is broadcast live from WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck here is 8:05 a.m., and it is mostly sunny in San Diego, California, 57 degrees Fahrenheit. All right, our topic for today is going to be Steelers ride the coast to victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. The host will recap action from Monday Night Football, where the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Indianapolis Colts. The host will discuss action from NBA and share results from NHL and World Cup action. All right. Well, last night, everybody, Everybody seen Monday Night Football knows that the Pittsburgh Steelers came with a good win last night against the resurgent Indianapolis Colts. I say resurgent because this new revamped Colts with Jeff Saturday at the helm, they seem to be playing a little bit better, even though they won one and dropped two. But, that's to be expected, first-time coach trying to get it together. But they look to me to be more in more unison. They look to me to be more in a position to where they can actually compete with teams that they're playing. They look more competitive to me. They look like they're playing with a little bit more of an edge right now. That's just my humble opinion. It looks like they're able to play with a little bit better edge. I think Jeff Saturday's got in there, him being a former offensive lineman involved with the offense all those years. You know, he was, you know, Peyton Manning took snaps from up under him, if I'm correct. If you'd like to correct me if I'm wrong, please call in and get to the show at 515-602-9687. Call in to the show, 515-602-9687, if I'm saying anything wrong. But if I'm correct, Jeff Saturday for the Indianapolis Colts was the center, and Peyton Manning took the snaps from up under him. So it's not like Jeff Saturday doesn't know offense. It's not just like Jeff Saturday doesn't know what leadership on a football team looks like, because I would have to say that Peyton Manning was a leader, in my opinion. So when they say that, when they say something like Jeff Saturday, he's not ready to do this job, I don't believe that. Jeff Saturday has been around greatness. When you've been around greatness, that in itself is a great thing. When you've been around greatness, you can take that greatness that you learn, that leadership that you learn from like a Peyton Manning, and you can start leading your own group of men, which is what Jeff Saturday is doing right now, is basically what I'm trying to say. So I like this resurgent, revamped Colts. They just got to learn how to win. You know how sometimes you get a good team, got a good group of guys, and it may be youth, it may be discipline, and you just get, you play well, but you always come up short in the end. That's when you got to learn how to win. You got to teach the team how to win, and that's what Jeff Saturday's challenge is going to be for the next. For the remainder of the season, they're probably not going to the playoffs. I think they'd have been on the bubble or in the hunt if they'd have won last night, but it looks like they're not going anywhere. So right now, if I was Jeff Saturday, I'd be rotating guys in and out. I'd be rotating guys in, rotating guys out, and I'm still tripping on the fact that the Steelers didn't just blow this team out. They didn't just blow them out. You know, I thought the game would have been maybe the Steelers could easily put up, you know, got up on them by about three scores. But if I'm remembering right, I can't remember the score from last night. It'll come back up on my monitor. It'll come up on my monitor. But, you know, I don't recall Indy getting blown out, because they were scoring as well. And they had an opportunity, but when it comes down to it, I can't remember if they tried to do an onside kick or so. I can't remember how it actually went last night. I was doing multiple things while I was watching back and forth. That's what happens when you're a businessman. You can't really just be watching these games all the time. You can keep up on the scores and try to get the highlights and, you know, get as much action as you can. So if I'm stating anything that didn't happen last night or in the game, that I've watched so much football this weekend, I could possibly be thinking about an outcome of another game. But I think last night, I think Indy scored or something, and then they were trying to go ahead and do an onside kick maybe. But I could be incorrect. Like I said, I've watched so much football. It's been Thanksgiving weekend, and it's just been football, football, football. So I could be wrong. But anyway, whatever the case may be, I don't recall Pittsburgh really stomping the Colts. The Colts was like right there in the game. They were like right there in it. So, they came up short regardless. I think they was right there in the game. I don't think the game was ever totally out of reach. I'll put it like that. The Steelers never made the game where it was totally out of reach. They never made the game to where it was totally out of reach from the Colts. The Colts could have came back and made a run pretty much throughout the whole game. They just couldn't put it all together. But that's where Jeff Saturday's experience, his leadership experience, stemming from his time with Peyton Manning and those great Indianapolis Colts years, those Super Bowl years, playoff years, that's where Jeff Saturday's experience is going to come into play for next year. Right now, I think the coach should just start tearing it down and trying to rebuild it, And then at the same time, the Pittsburgh Steelers pretty much are in the same situation. If they don't, I think them winning last night keeps them in the hunt. But let's be honest, they're not having a great year either. So what's going to probably happen is, you know, they're going to wind up coming up short, getting into the playoffs as well. So when it starts getting to the point to where it's mathematically impossible for these teams to make it to the playoffs, they might as well start going ahead on rotating guys in, keep your starters healthy, rotating guys in and see what you got for next year so you start cutting bait. Excuse me, cutting your dead weight so you can save some money on your salary cap for next year to get some key free agent signings up in there. You need to get some key free agent vet signings that aren't too long in the tooth, that aren't asking for significantly too much. You need to get those guys in. Predominantly, the Pittsburgh Steelers could get an Odell Beckham Jr. That would be a nice pickup if Dallas, because I'm going to go with some of the media experts on this, is that I don't believe that Odell Beckham is playing this year. I don't think he's playing this year. It's already coming across the monitor. Small move for the Cowboys to be all in on Odell Beckham Jr., Jerry Jones on Odell. We think he can fit in really good with us. That came from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Credits to 105.3 The Fans in Dallas. Jerry Jones on Odell. We think he can fit in really good with us. Smart for the Cowboys to be all in on Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know. That was very disturbing the other morning when you get asked to exit a plane. So it's not a fact that Odell is a I put it like this. I'm not saying that Odell is a bad guy. What I'm saying is that when you get asked to leave a plane, something was wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. If you get asked to leave a deboard a plane, a commercial vessel, something's wrong. They're making it seem like this came over. She was trying to be a busybody. You know, she asked him something. He opened his eyes and he went back to sleep. He was unresponsive to what she needed him to do. And so that means you got on the plane 9 times out of 10 drunk, or got on the plane drunk and high. If you are unresponsive, that's what people do when they're unresponsive, when they're inebriated, when they got alcohol in their system, when they got a drug in their system, whether it was a legal drug or not, whether you took some sleeping meds or something like that, because you can't sleep, but you were unresponsive. So if you're unresponsive, that's not what you need to be on a plane, because in case of emergency situation and they need you to strap on your seat, they need you to put your oxygen mask on, put your flotation device on or whatever. If the plane runs into some kind of trouble, their job is to help preserve life. And with all these people on there, everybody needs to be able to listen to instructions coming from one person and be in unison doing what they need to do. They can't be coming around seat to seat making sure somebody that's unresponsive and unresponsive and not doing what they need to do. They can't be doing that type of stuff. So with that being said, you know, I think that Odell Beckham would be the right fit right now for any team. With any team, I think he needs to go and do some soul searching and get himself together and just start and be ready, mentally ready to go for the beginning of the next season. That's just my opinion. Can he still play? Yeah, I'm quite sure he can. Would I be trying to rush to go and get on the team right now in the middle of a season? No. The season's almost over. We're past halfway point. We're past the halfway point. It's week 12. We're going into week 13 Thursday night. Thursday night starts week 13. It's what, 18 games in the season. So you got, we theoretically got about what, six games, five games left? You got five games left into the playoffs. what are you trying to come back for the next five games? I won't be trying to sign with anybody for the next five games. If you're going to sign with Dallas, I will sign with Dallas for to come in at the top of camp next year. I will sign with Dallas to come in the camp at next year. Be ready for next year if I was Odell Beckham Jr. But I think for the going back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, if he doesn't sign with the Dallas Cowboys, that would be a great pick. Signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers would be a great thing for Odell Beckham Jr., in my opinion. They got a good young quarterback, and he could use as his primary target. He could use Odell Beckham as the primary target for Kenny Pickens. So I'm just like, that's a great opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers and a great opportunity for Odell Beckham. But at the same time, Odell Beckham is such a weapon. He could be great in any franchise, to be honest. It just depends on where he wants to go. It just depends on where he wants to go. Some people saying that, well, maybe he doesn't want to play in the cold. Well, he was in New York for several years. He was in New York, and it gets cold in New York. So, I mean, whether he went to Green Bay, whether he went to Minnesota, whether he went to the Green Bay Packers, and whether he went to Pittsburgh Steelers, I meant, he can play in Pittsburgh. So I think that what I'm saying is him playing in New York, his body will get acclimatized to the Pittsburgh Steelers weather. He gets cold in Pittsburgh. He gets cold out there to Pittsburgh, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio area. It gets cold out there too. It snows. But the thing about it is I think that a good young quarterback can be helped by a great vet like Odell Beckham. He can be helped. Kenny Pickens could be helped by Odell Beckham. So I want to see if that kind of transpires in the news during the offseason. If the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to make a play for Odell Beckham Jr. So we're going to see what happens with that. You know, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is Steelers ride the coast to victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. So I was basically just talking about this Odell Beckham sweepstakes, saying that the Pittsburgh Steelers really could use a Odell Beckham type of player if they could get him signed in the offseason. Or if they could sign him now and just say, we're not going to do anything with you besides allow you to come to practice, you know, shirts and shorts, just conditioning, learning the playbook, learning the scheme. That's all we're going to do with you. And we're going to start you fresh in the camp at the beginning of next season. But if any altercations, any issues, any foolishness off the field, we're going to just go ahead and cut bait right away. We're not going to do an investigation if we hear anything. If we hear, I mean, we'll hear your side of the story, but pretty much after we hear your side of the story, if it's determined that that's questionable, we're going to go ahead and cut bait and just put you back out in free agency, and you can go ahead and you know, sign on with another team, and hopefully everything works out for you. That's the kind of way I would do it if I was the GM for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would try to go after Odell Beckham right now. They got the right quarterback, and all they need is the right wide receiver to go ahead and help him get, you know, get better. And then, you know, of course, put the other pieces apart on the other pieces together on the offensive line during the offseason as well. So that's interesting. If you'd like to call in and debate what I just said about possibly Odell Beckham signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, if that's a good fit. If you'd like to call in and correct me or debate me, call in to 515-602-9687. Time on deck is 8:21 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is mostly sunny in San Diego, California, 57 degrees Fahrenheit, and this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. Let's get off into a little bit about music soundtracks and take a quick station break so the Late Night Dog can get some coffee up in him. And we'll be right back. Stand by. Hello and welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. This is your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in to talk about the sport that he or she loves the most. We talk about horse racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, dog racing, hot dog eating contests. We talk a lot about football because this is an NFL talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA, talk about World Cup action, soccer, XFL, USFL. So that's going to be some of the tags we have today to talk about National Football League, which we've been going over. Today's topic was Steelers ride the coast of victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. We talk a lot about NBA, World Cup action, soccer in America, XFL, USFL, with the XFL coming up in January, you know, with Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson leading up this new upstart independent league for NFL free agents, CFL free agents, street free agents, what have you. That's what XFL is gearing up to do. USFL is doing the same thing, gearing up, taking guys that they had last year, which USFL put about 60 guys or so in the camp, NFL camps last year. I have one guy currently on a USFL roster. Big shout out to Jeff Jeckham. He's going to be going into camp in March for the Memphis Showboats. He got signed to the Tampa Bay Bandits, but they relocated to Memphis. The franchise relocated to Memphis, and they're now the Memphis Showboats. But I think they're going to be doing another Tampa Bay Bandits franchise next, not this year, but this following year or so. But Tampa Bay will eventually, supposedly supposed to have another team eventually. But right now, currently, that team has been moved to the Memphis, Tennessee area, and they're currently the Memphis Showboats. And I do have a player there again. Big shout out to Jeff Jeckham, former West Point Military Academy cadet. He also played for the Las Vegas Nighthawks in the indoor football league. He played there and got his opportunity in the offseason to sign a contract with the USFL, again with the Memphis Showboats. So I'm looking for big things for him. It would be great to see him playing on TV, getting his opportunity after serving this great nation overseas in the European theater for several years. So it's going to be good for him to come back to the United States and be able to get his opportunity to play in front of a big live national television audience on Fox and NBC. And the USFL is already starting their advertising for the springtime, so that's a good thing. I did see them already running their commercials, because we only got about five weeks left of NFL football, so they're already gearing up, so letting everybody know it's still going to be football in the springtime. And it was some exciting stuff last year. Their championship game was very exciting, very competitive. I believe that was against the Birmingham Stallions, who won the whole thing, and they defeated the New Jersey Generals in the USFL championship. But that was a good championship. Nice turnout, good crowd, good. It was a good game. Really a good game. They put on a quality product. I can't take anything away from the USFL. They put on a quality product that night. But I'm wishing good luck to my client under management services, Jeff Jeckham, who will be playing, who got signed as a safety, if I'm correct, is a safety, but he can play multiple positions. He's an athlete. He can play wide receiver, tight end. Excuse me. He can play wide receiver. He can play tight end. He can play safety. He can play special teams. Just all-around athlete. If you want to know more about Jeff Jeckham or reach out to him, it's at J-E-F-E apostrophe. That's at Jeffe or at Jeffe, however he pronounces it. But you can reach out to him on Twitter via direct message and talk to him about whatever you want to talk to him about, you know, about his journey. You can reach out to him, and he'll tell you, you know, his route, because he had a very different route leaving the U.S. Military Academy, going directly in the service, stationed over in Europe, making his way back over here to the United States to play in the Indoor Football League. And of course, the Indoor Football League is now the partner of the XFL. They're the minor league of the XFL. So, you know, he done that. Then he got having to get signed for the USFL, He got a contract offer, signed his contract. Now he'll be playing for the Memphis Showboats for the USFL. So a lot of good things happening for guys getting the opportunity in the USFL and in the XFL. A lot of good things are happening because it is giving them, giving the NFL scouts an opportunity to see these guys play on TV. And if a guy goes down, you know, for the NFL or when they start trying to add camp bodies, they've been able to watch these street free agents on TV playing football, and they can go ahead and bring them into camp and work them out and see if they can get on the camp roster and then make a 53-man roster. So I'm glad that the XFL and the USFL are doing what they're doing in the springtime to give all these deserving young men a real opportunity at that bag in the National Football League. We're just coming out of our music mix, and I want to shout out to the CEO of Team Mash and Sound Design, Mr. Keith Clizart, who is a platinum producer. Keith Clizart, he donated the tracks that we were just going through in our music mix. If it's any independent producers, underground artists out there that are trying to get above ground, definitely hit up Keith Clizart at Clizark1 at CLIZARK1 on Twitter. Direct at Clizark1 on Twitter. Again, that's at CLIZARK1 on Twitter. And reach out to him if you need consultation on your music career, if you need major label distribution for your recordings, if you need beats and stuff like that, reach out to at Clizark1, direct message on Twitter. So we want to thank the CEO again, Mr. Keith Clizark of Team Mash and Sound Design, the CEO, for donating these beats to the show, because usually you have to lease these beats, rent these beats, but he was gracious enough for me because we've done some business over the last several years, and he was gracious enough to donate some beats to my show. So I really, in fact, he's the one that gave me the idea saying, don't really worry about getting songs, man, just get beats. All you need really is just run beats. Then you don't have to worry about it being radio edited and all this stuff, just run the beats on the show. And so he's letting me showcase his beats on my show. And if you're interested in any of the beats that you hear, again, hit him up on direct message at Clizark1 on Twitter direct message or Google or go to LinkedIn for Team Mash and Sound Design. That's T-E-A-M, Team Mash, and that's M-A-S-H-N, M-A-S-H-N, Team Mash and Sound Design. So, anyway, with that being said, getting back to our topic, Steelers ride the Colts to victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. Last night, the Pittsburgh Steelers came up with a big win, and keeping them, I believe, in the hunt, or at least on the bubble. They still got an opportunity mathematically, if some people start losing, to make it into the postseason. We'll see. They're saying this is Mike Tomlin's first losing season. He's never had a losing season. So, it's going to be interesting, guys. It's going to be interesting for the Pittsburgh Steelers moving forward. Right now for the Indianapolis Colts and Jeff Saturday, I believe it's just rebuilding time. It's time for him to start trying out some other players in season. This is basically needs to be – camp needs to start right now in season. Camp needs to start right now in season, and the fans just got to understand that that's where they're at right now. This man came in mid-season. He's never coached it professionally at this level, but I think he's doing a good job for coming in mid-season, taking the reins, and just being thrown in there and say, "Hey, fix this." So he's evaluating guys. He's I'm quite sure he's looking at guys real hard in practice, trying to see, this guy, that guy doesn't belong. I'm quite sure that's where he's at with everything. But what I will say is this. You know, when it comes down to it, Jeff Saturday, I think he's going to go into this role. And I'll say this. The USFL and the XFL, they're going to have a lot of players for him to evaluate. And I'm hoping that he's going to be watching some of these spring games to say, okay, well, I remember during week 12, our game on week 12, I remember standing there looking around trying to see why we couldn't beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm hoping he's going to remember the guys that could have gave more and didn't, And then when he sees these players in the USFL and the XFL, like my man Jeff Educap, I'm sorry, Jeff Ejekum. My apologies, Jeff. I got a little tongue tied there. But you look at players like my man Jeff Ejekum. When you see a player like him, I'm hoping that Jeff Saturday and others like him, when they're watching spring football, they'll say, "I need that guy on my roster," or "I need to bring that guy in and see how he matches up in a workout with some of these guys that we're trying to cut. See if he can see if he'd be better to bring in." So that's what we're hoping with these spring leagues, the XFL, USFL. I've been talking a lot on Twitter to a lot of the NFL draft eligible college athletes. And I say draft eligible college athletes. This is what I mean by draft eligible, meaning that you're leaving college, you've done at least 2 years of college, and you're eligible to enter the NFL draft, whether you're going to be draftable based on if you had a junior day, a pro day, a draft grade from your junior day, meaning you need to have a draft ranking going into the draft. When I say draft eligible, I'm just saying you may or may not have all the stuff I just mentioned. To get on the draft board, you need to have a draft ranking. That means you're on the draft board because you are ranked amongst the top 100, if I'm correct, in your position. You get a draft ranking by doing a junior day, meaning you take the Wonderling, you get your measurements. Sometimes they make you run the 40. Sometimes they make you do your bench press. They run you through the whole drills. It's like doing a pro day, a mini pro day, in your junior year, or early in your senior season, something like that. So, I mean, if I'm incorrect on anything I'm saying, please feel free to call into the show and correct me or debate me, 515-602-9687. The guest call in is 515-602-9687. So those of you out there that are streaming this episode, if you want to call in and talk to me about that, that you feel free to do so. But back to what I was saying. For the NCAA college athletes that are going to be draft eligible 2023, I'm just saying that you got to make sure that you're even on the draft board, because if you didn't get a draft grade by doing your junior day, you're not on the draft board. So that's why I say NFL draft eligible college guys, you might be draft eligible, but that just doesn't mean that you're on the draft board. You might be draft eligible based on your age. You did the minimum requirements, age, minimum requirements, 2 years of college, stuff like that. So, you know, if you've done the 2 years of college, that's a requirement, if I'm correct. You're the right age, I think. At that time, you'll be 21. Then you have to be 21 to come into the league. So all those requirements are met. So you're draft eligible in that regard. But if you didn't do the other things that I mentioned, meaning junior day, pro day, have a draft grade, you're not going to get drafted. And you're probably not going to be offered a camp contract going into free agency unless you just got an agent or a manager like myself that maybe just knows somebody that can get you in. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, because it has happened. Sometimes family members might know somebody in the NFL front office, and somebody might just say, "Hey, yeah, we'll let him come to camp. We'll see if he can make his way." Things happen. That's why relationships are so important. Relationships help you get past the gatekeepers. Relationships help you get past the steel curtain, the iron curtain. That's what relationships do. So I'm not saying that if you didn't do all this stuff that I said, you could still get invited to camp. You just got to know somebody. If you're good friends with so-and-so and they're good friends with a general manager, really good friends or kin to them, and they're really close, say, "Hey, man, give my guy a chance to come into camp. Work him out for about a week, and if he don't make it, just cut him." They could do that. They got the money to do it. And, you know, that's a relationship call. Yeah, I'm going to bring him into camp anyway, because he ain't that great, but you never know. He might be able to beat some of these guys out and make the practice squad. Things happen. That's called relationships again, people. But, you know, we don't want to hang our hats on ifs and buts, you know, because if ifs and buts was candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. A good friend of mine told me that a long time ago. Shout out to my friend Chuck Reed, Big Chuck Reed. Chuck was a professional wrestler over in Japan and also an action star in Japan. So big shout out to Chuck. But he told me a long time ago, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. So don't hang your hats on ifs and buts. If I meet the right person, I should have been able to make it, but don't hang your hats on ifs and buts. Hang your hats on something solid. Getting with the right management service like myself, Best Sports Management in San Diego, California. Get with us. The full proper name of my company is Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service. But I just say Best Sports Management, so I don't have to say all that. But get with Best Sports Management, and I can take you where you need to go if you're going to be projected to be a street free agent, meaning most of you guys that come from small schools, Division II, III, and NAIA schools, those three categories of schools don't usually offer a pro day. Some do, but some don't. Some do. Division II, Division III, NAIA, some do offer a pro day. Some do offer a junior day. Some do get guys a draft grade to get on the draft board. But in most cases, I'm going to say 95% of the time, I'm going to be fair and say 95% of the time, you're not going to get that opportunity to have a junior day, get a draft ranking, have a pro day, so you can get on the draft board at those levels of schools, D2, D3, NAIA. You're not going to usually get an opportunity to do that, and that's what makes you a projected street free agent. And you need help right now for you to be doing what we're talking about, the XFL, the USFL, is to go ahead and get with somebody like me. Get presented to the right people. I got a scout contact in the USFL. I got a scout contact for the XFL. I got relationships at HUB. That's at H-U-B, at capital H-U-B, HUB on Twitter. I have a good relationship there with those guys that run HUB. I was there a couple weeks ago, November the 13th. I was right there. Wasn't too far from where I live at. Was right there. I done a stand-up at the event. So you have to basically just look at everything. Basically look at everything and take all your options. You know, I have opportunity to get you into the CIF. Got coaches right now looking for offensive linemen, looking for quarterback, looking for defensive linemen. I have those opportunities for the CIF right now. I can put you in place with a coach. Just got a young man signed about 2 weeks ago. He came to me in 3 days. He came to me maybe in 2 days. He had a contract. 48 hours, I think he had a contract that he signed. He's getting ready to go to camp. He's getting ready to go to camp sometime in January. Late January, early February, that young man will be in camp, and he'll be playing football during the NFL draft. You guys got to take your shots. I'm telling all you street free agents out there, they got opportunities in the XFL, USFL, if you're coming out of college, to where you got to go through all this rigmarole. If you get with the right service like mine, I can take your college film, you as a rookie, and put you on the football field in the CIF, ISFL, and you can get your XFL workout. I can also put you in a position to get brought in right now through open free agency. If you want to play in, if you know that you're going to be a street free agent and not on the NFL draft board. If you ain't on the draft board, you're not getting drafted, people. I want to tell this to all student athletes, parents of student athletes that's going to be graduating in December and looking to play football. If you're not going to get drafted if you're not on the draft board. Keep that in mind and contact me, if not me, somebody like me, to help you get your opportunity to play in the springtime so you can get looked at by these NFL scouts in the spring, and they bring you into a 3-day mini camp workout in the springtime or summertime, whatever time they do their 3-day workouts, and then go ahead. That's usually after the draft, I believe, they'll do the three-day mini camp workouts for guys. And moving from that point, you know, you may have an opportunity to get on a NFL roster. You may have opportunity to get on the NFL camp roster because you've taken the steps and you've been looked at on TV. You've been worked out, and you probably can get on the camp roster. And at least you can say, hey, I can hang my – even if you don't make it through camp. I took the steps that Mr. Ferran gave me, and basically found myself in an NFL camp, and I wasn't even on the draft board. It can happen, people. It's relationships can make things happen. Taking the right opportunities can make things happen. And at the same time, you have to invest in yourself. To have a relationship with me, it's $600. $300 down, $350. $300 down, $300 due in 35 days. Meaning you put $300 down in 30 days with a 5-day grace period. I need the other $300. That's a total of $600. If you don't pay the other $300 in 30 days with a 5-day grace period, you will start over from scratch with a fresh $300. That's to encourage you to go ahead and get all your money paid for so you don't have to start back over. Then I've made $900 versus $600 that you should have just paid in the first place. So that's how it goes. And that's to make sure that you go ahead and pay your money on time. Let's get our business done, shake hands, and let's move forward. I'm going to segue off into some World Cup action. Right now we have live on the monitor, we have Ecuador and Senegal. Senegal's leading Ecuador 2-1. Senegal's leading Ecuador 2-1, and they have 86-minute mark. So they're going to be going up to the 87 minutes here shortly. But they're at the 86-minute mark, almost 87-minute mark in the World Cup Group A, FIFA World Cup Group A, Ecuador 1, Senegal 2. Senegal is leading Ecuador 2-1. Senegal 2, Ecuador 1 at the 86-minute mark. That's World Cup update live, and I believe that the United States men's national team will be taking on Iran. Well, they said they don't pronounce their country Iran, is it Iran? So then I want to respect that. So the U.S. men's national team will be in group play. I believe they're in group play as well. They'll be taking on Iran. So good luck to the U.S. men's national team, for our U.S. men's national soccer team, or if you're overseas, our U.S. men's national football team, our U.S. men's national global style football, U.S. men's national football team. So that's World Cup terminology. We like to call the sport, the global sport, we like to call it soccer in America, and there's a reason for that. I did study up on why they call it soccer. If I'm remembering right, they said it's because when the kids in Argentina or Latin America, wherever they were, when they saw seeing the British or the Englishmen play the game, they used the term soccer because it was like the way they were moving around kind of erratically, just all over the place, kicking the ball and playing. So the kids called it soccer. So that term, I guess, made its way to the United States. And that's why they call it soccer. And that's the history that I got on it. I could be wrong, but I did hear that. Can't make that up. If you would like to call in and debate me on what I just said or correct me, call in to 515-602-9687. That's 515-602-9687. That's the guest call-in line. If you want to call in and talk about anything that's coming across the monitor, or call in and talk about the sports you love. If whatever I'm talking about you're not interested in or don't know much about it, you can talk about what you want to talk about. And if I don't know about what you're talking about, you can teach me about it. If you don't understand what we're talking about, we can teach you about it. So this is an open platform type of show. We don't do a whole lot of I call it an impromptu professional show. We try to keep the conversation just like we were sitting at home drinking a beer, smoking a cigar, just like the show says, stogies and beer. We try to keep the conversation flowing just in a normal, natural format. A lot of times I'm trying to get better at saying and stuff like that because I know in my media performance, I actually went to school for radio, television, film, so I do know how to perform on radio, but I get lazy sometimes. And I think I just like the flow, natural flow of a conversation, because when you're talking to somebody on the street, you're not trying to breathe when you talk and don't say and I understand why they do it on radio. It's a smoother flow of you sending out information. But I'm working on it. I'm trying to get to that point because I am a professional. But however, if I don't get to that point anytime soon, it's okay because this is a impromptu professional show. We just kind of like do what we do and we talk on the fly. We talk like normal people talking at home. That's the great thing about Stokers a Bit Radio Show. You can just kick back, relax, and just talk about the sport you love, talk your crap, debate, do whatever, as long as we keep it clean because we do have kids listening to this show with the parents and stuff, so we try to keep everything clean. And we also try to keep everybody discreet that's on the show. We don't use people's names unless they're going to be doing a street free agent athlete spotlight or an underground independent music artist or producer spotlight. That's the only time that we will use your name because we want people to know who you are. But people calling into the show, it's always your first initial, last initial, or whatever initials you want to go by. That's the only thing we'll do it. Just for instance, my number one sports contributor, D.C., is out of Maryland. That's what we say, D.C. out of Maryland. You know, I used to say the city, but I'm just trying to say the state now. So I just to keep everybody discreet, because, you know, I don't know if you're supposed to be at work when you're calling into the show. Maybe your boss man might hear it and then, oh, man, you're not sick. You're on the radio show or something like that. You sound like you were well to me on Soldiers and Beer. I heard your name get called, and I heard you, and I know that was you. So I try to just keep everything to your initials, whatever initials you want to go by, and your state. But that's how we do it on the Soldiers and Beer Radio Show. We like to keep everybody's confidentiality. So anyway, going back to the topic for today, the Steelers ride the coast of victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. Good game last night, but however, you know, the Colts came up short. I was really rooting for him because of Jeff Saturday. I was hoping that he was going to pull it off last night against Mike Tomlin, but it didn't happen. Look to me, if I'm remembering right, Kenny Pickett had a pretty good game. He had a pretty good game last night. So, you know, it's we'll see what's going to happen with Jeff Saturday's team moving forward. But I think right now, like I was saying, he should be trying to tear that team down bit by bit, break it all down, try to see who needs to be in the locker room and who doesn't. Who needs to be in the locker room, who doesn't, who needs to be in the quarterback room and who doesn't. I think the team starts from the offensive line, clean that up, start rotating those guys that's on the bench, rotate them in, find out if they're any good. If they're not, get them out of there. Get them off the budget. Bring some fresh rookies in there. Replace them or get some more vets. Clear up the cap space. Get the offensive line right. Be dominant offensively at the offensive line. Get the right quarterback in the right quarterback in the quarterback room. If Matt Ryan is done, get him out of there. Get him out of there. If Sam Ellinger can't step up, get him out of there. To a quarterback out of the draft. Matter of fact, get two of them. Get two fresh rookies out of the draft. Get one at the division, at the FBS level, and dip down to get one at the FCS level. Let them battle it out. Get one at the FBS level and one at the FCS level. At the same time, you got the opportunity to pull some guys out of the USFL and the XFL. You got some guys that's going to be playing in the USFL and the XFL that's going to be making some noise. Bring them in. Work them out. Get the offensive line fixed, Jeff, and get the quarterback situation cleaned up. And that's the same thing going out to my New Orleans Saints. Dennis Allen, get the offensive line right. Dennis Allen, get the quarterback room right. You got the USFL and the XFL going on. Look at some of those quarterbacks that are there. Work them out. Don't just look at the ones that's on TV. You got the backups. Bring the backups in for a workout. They're playing at that level for a reason because they're good enough to play at that level. It's only so many NFL franchises, so everybody can't get on the NFL roster. It's only 53 spots. Only 53 spots on a NFL roster. And what, 9 to 11 practice squad spots. Everybody can't go to the NFL. Some people are going to have to play where they can play at until they get an opportunity to get there. But thank God for the USFL and the XFL giving these guys another opportunity. Plus, merging with a program like Hubcamp. Hubcamp gives an opportunity for the USFL to get get data on the guys that are there working out. Like my guy that worked out 2 weeks ago, his data is within the hub system. So if they need a defensive tackle, edge rusher, or whatever, they can go. They can say, "Hey, give me information on a good defensive tackle that did well at Hub Camp on November 13th. Give us some information. Maybe we can work them out." And they can look at my guy, Patrick Isabel. They can look at him and say, "Hey, we like Patrick Isabel. We like Patrick Isabel. He looks like his numbers are good and look like what we're trying to put on the team. So can you contact him for us so we can bring him in and work him out?" That's what Hub Camp can do. Hub Camp can do that for the USFL teams because they're the exclusive data sharing partner for the USFL. So basically, the USFL are going to be getting their players from Hub Camp. So if you get the opportunity to go in to compete or go perform at Hub Camp, which is an NFL sanctioned event, and it is a mini camp style facility invite style workout. If you get the opportunity to get selected to go there, and to go there, you have to be very good. You can't just be run of the mill. You actually got to be very good to go to Hub Camp. So my guy, Patrick Isbell, they saw something and brought him in. They saw something and brought him into camp. And so he was able to do the Hub Camp. And so hopefully his notes and everything like that, when the scouts for the USFL are looking to bring a player up, all they got to do is look down there. They can find my guy, Patrick Isbell, and bring him in to a facility workout. The USFL New Orleans Breakers were there. The USFL New Orleans Breakers head coach, he was out there looking at players. They had another USFL scout there. They also had an EFL scout there. And segueing in news right now, finals, Senegal 2, Ecuador 1. The World Cup action, Group A, Senegal 2, Ecuador 1. So Senegal defeated Ecuador in the World Cup 2-1 in group action. It looked like they're going to be moving on to the knockout round. Got a lot of heartbroken young men from Ecuador on the ground crying. You know, they're heartbroken. And they should be because you can only play World Cup action once every so often. I don't know how many years it is in between. But, you know, you wait about anywhere from two to four years to play this game. And then, you know, you get knocked out. You know, it's kind of hard. You worked hard. You just want to move on to the knockout stages, if I'm correct. I'm not big on world football, meaning soccer. I'm not big on it. But, you know, I can imagine. Heartbreak because it's almost like playing in the Olympics. When you finally get there, you finally get to the FIFA World Cup, you want to make it. You want to make it. So I'm believing now we got the U.S. men's national team coming up on the monitor. They'll be playing next against Iran. I want to say Iran the correct way because they had a big controversy the other day in the big news conference. The media over there is like, asking the U.S. men's team and their young superstar and the coach a lot of difficult questions about civil rights and all this stuff. I think they mentioned, you know, the climate of civil rights when it comes down to black people in the United States. I guess it was kind of like trying to take a dig and say, why are you guys so worried about human rights over here and you guys don't really have, you know, the right amount of civil rights and human rights in the United States, coming from a black perspective. So that was an interesting conversation they was having over there. Again, last night the Steelers 24, Colts 17. Like I was saying earlier, based on my topic, Steelers ride to coast of victory. 24-17 was the final outcome last night on Monday Night Football. Segueing back to football and our topic for today. So the Colts didn't get blown out. They only lost by 7. That's why I say, you know, the game was never totally out of hand. The game was never totally out of hand for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the game was never totally out of hand for the Indianapolis Colts. The Pittsburgh Steelers never really, like, put their foot on their neck and pushed them all the way out of the picture. They didn't put their foot on their necks and close the door on the situation. The Colts actually could have won that game. I forgot exactly how it ended, but I think they might have been trying for like a onside kick or something. But basically what happened was they just kind of ran out of time, if I'm remembering right. But if you want to call in and correct me or debate me, call in the 515-602-9687. Again, call in the 515-602-9687. In other news coming across the monitor, Tiger Woods withdraws from this week's Hero World Challenge. Plantar fasciitis in the right foot. Plans to play in the match on December the 10th. But he's coming out of the Heroes World Challenge, but he plans to play December 10th in the match. And that's more important to me. I wanted to see him in the match. I thought the Heroes World Challenge had changed their name to that from the match, but it's two different events. So they're saying Tiger Woods has not played since missing the cut at the Open Championship. But Tiger, he's still doing this thing. He's always going to be a name. He's always going to be a name. I like his golf. I like his competitive spirit, if nothing else. I don't know if he even takes a social stance. But at the end of the day, nothing wrong with that. Everybody's not supposed to take a social stance. A lot of times people sit back and they'll say, oh, well, you know, Tiger Woods, he doesn't never really talk about, like, Black Lives Matter. He doesn't talk about the presidency and different things like that and race relations. He doesn't talk about that. And he was in an interracial marriage and all this stuff. It's, you know, everybody is not meant, in my opinion. I don't do a lot of politics and religion on my show. But all I'm saying is this. But I don't do politics and religion on the show. But all I'm saying is that Tiger Woods is a great athlete. I like his golf game. I like his competitive spirit. I like that. I like his story. I also like the fact that his story also has a added fact that he's, you know, African-American, obviously part African-American. And I think he's part African-American and part Asian-American, Filipino. But I'm glad that him as a part African-American man was able to, you know, represent us 50% as well as the other 50% Asian-American side of his life. So I just say that everybody's stance doesn't have to be social. Everybody doesn't have to have a social stance. If he wasn't built to take a social stance, he wasn't built to take a social stance. There's no problem. Now, when I see Tiger Woods' documentary, his father, Earl, he seemed to be like a guy that took a social stance because he demanded that Nike give his son, as a young black, a young part black man, he said that, you know, you guys are going to pay my son what I think he's worth. We're gonna run the campaign on certain things, and I think the campaign that they had said they were going to run on was the fact that he himself was a caddy. He wasn't really welcome into golf. It wasn't inclusive for him. However, we're going to use that for my son, to fuel the fire for my son, and these ad campaigns with Nike and whatever. We're going to use the race card. And if I'm incorrect based on the documentary I saw on Tiger Woods, if I'm incorrect on anything I'm saying, please call into the show line and correct me or debate me on it. But based on the HBO documentary that I was looking at, I believe that Tiger Woods' father, he was about social. He did take a social stance. And he took a social stance by telling Nike, we're going to use the race card with the fact that golf was not inclusive for me, but it's inclusive for my son. And we're going to use the race card to promote my son, Tiger, as a person being included and having a more inclusive opportunity in golf, not 100% inclusive, but a more inclusive opportunity than I had. We're going to use that and basically sell these shoes and these golf clubs or whatever we're going to be selling. We're going to use that. Tiger Woods himself, I've never seen him or heard him really take a social stance on race relations anyway. On race relations, he may have taken a stance on human rights, but I haven't really seen him take a stance socially on like Black Lives Matter or nothing like that. But it really doesn't matter. My point is that everybody that's a mega star is not required to take a social stance. And I don't judge them for that. I look at these athletes play. What they do in their regular lives, whether they want to take a stance, don't want to take a stance, whether they put money into the community, don't put money in the community, whether they give in charity, don't give in charity, I don't care. I just look at the way these athletes play because I don't want to know none of them personally. I don't want to know any of them personally. I don't want to know about your personal life. All I want to know is that how do you entertain us? How do you get on that field? How do you get on the court? How do you get on the diamond? How do you get on the ice? How do you get on the pitch? That's all I want to know about. How are you going to perform today for entertainment for myself? As far as like trying to get in these people personal lives, what kind of father, husband, wife, whatever they are, I could care less. I could care less. I remember when the Will Smith slap around the world was heard, when Will Smith, mega actor, slapped Chris Rock, another mega actor, mega stars, you know, and it's like when Will Smith assaulted Chris Rock, I'm not going to lie, that kind of took me aback a little bit. It put me in a position where I was like, it took me a minute to really forgive Will Smith. Not that my forgiveness matters to Will Smith. I know it don't. He could care less about me. I'm a blip on his radar, if that. I'm a speck of dust in his world. So my opinion doesn't matter. But collectively, all these specks of dust, collectively, I really feel like he felt that. I really feel like that he felt that his fans were not pleased with him, not pleased with what he did, because you can't turn the TV on almost and not see a Will Smith movie. That's how much stuff this man has done. That's how big his body of work is. You can't turn the TV on almost without seeing a Will Smith movie. So for a minute, I couldn't really even watch TV right unless it was sports. I'm just like, man, I got to change it. Then on the sports side, he played Ali, so that was on TV. So I was, like, having a hard time watching TV because I was upset with what Will Smith did. But at the same time, eventually I got over it, and I had to come to the point of saying that, you know, this is why you cannot look at these actors and athletes, all these mega stars, whether they do sports, entertainment, or sports and entertainment, you can't look at these mega stars and be like, okay, well, they did something that I wouldn't have did. Well, they're not you. They're not you. And you can't look at it like, well, they should have took a social stance on Black Lives Matter and human rights, because I would have done that. Well, they're not you. They're not you. When it's an actor, watch the movies, like the movies or not. When it's an athlete, you know, hope, you know, if it's your team, you can pray that they have a good game. Pray that they're in the right headspace to have a good game for your entertainment and your betting odds and all this stuff. But that's the farthest it needs to go when it comes down to fans. And I don't really like to say I'm a fan of nothing, because a fan means a fanatic. I'm not a fanatic of anybody. But as somebody that likes sports and somebody that likes entertainment in whatever form it comes in, movies, radio, whatever, music, however you want to look at it, I just like your body of work. I don't look at you to guide my life. But anyway, let me get off that soapbox. I'm going to try to rattle off a couple scores for NBA and NHL and definitely World Cup. We got across the monitor, the Islanders and the Flyers tonight, 7:30 Eastern. Islanders, Flyers, 7:30 Eastern. Just rattling off scores, guys, as they come in. Just rattling off scores as they come in, because I like to make sure I'm giving coverage to everybody. Week 13, Josh Allen versus Mac Jones. Week 13, Bills against the Patriots. That's coming up. Back in my school for the NHL, Ducks against the Predators tonight, 8 Eastern. Ducks, Predators tonight, 8 Eastern. So we got Week 13, Bills, Patriots on Thursday Night Football. That's what they're talking about, Mac Jones against Josh Allen. Ducks against the Predators, 8 Eastern, in the NHL action. Ducks, Predators, 8 Eastern. Avalanche against the Jets, 8 Eastern. Avalanche against the Jets, 8 Eastern. Avalanche and Jets, 8 Eastern. Just broadcasting games and scores as they come across the monitor, people. Sometimes I can only talk about the topic so long, especially when I don't have anybody on the show to debate me or to conversate with me. So I encourage everybody, you know, to call into the show and debate and conversate with me. We got the Panthers against the Flames, 9 Eastern. Panthers and the Flames, 9 Eastern. But this is a Buffalo and Patriots football game. It's going to be interesting for Thursday Night Football, the start of Week 13. Panthers against the Patriots and the Bills. Patriots and the Bills. This is going to be an interesting game. Patriots and the Bills, Thursday Night Football. I'm not going to get to see it because I don't subscribe to Amazon Prime. I think it's stupid that they're even putting the games on Amazon. But anyway, in the NHL, Capitals against the Canucks, 10 Eastern. Capitals, Canucks, 10 Eastern. Again, Capitals versus the Canucks, 10 Eastern. Just going over some scores, people, you know, because like I said, I want to make sure that I'm getting better at including the NHL and definitely why the World Cup going on, being inclusive to them. These are sports that I normally don't cover, and I'm trying to get better at. Kraken versus Kings, 10:30 Eastern. Kraken versus Kings, 10:30 Eastern. I know that this should be the Kraken's first or second year. You can call in and let me know if I'm right about that. I believe this is the Kraken. This is the Seattle team. I believe this is their first year, if I'm correct. So Kraken versus the Kings. If I'm incorrect, I know it's no more than their second year. I think they've only been in the league last year, or this is their inaugural season, but they haven't been in the league no more than a year. NCAA women's basketball action. We've had some scores pop up here on the monitor. Just reading off scores on the monitor. UCLA versus South Carolina. That's a 1-15 matchup, 7 Eastern. South Carolina number 1 against 15 UCLA. And we got Iowa State and SIUE, whoever that is. We got number 11 LSU against Southeast Louisiana, 8 Eastern. This is all women's basketball action coming up. NCAA men's action. Let's see who we got here. Penn State versus Clemson, 7 Eastern. Penn State versus Clemson, 7 Eastern. That's in NCAA men's basketball action. And just trying to wait for them to give me some more information here. Just bear with us. You know, they, for some reason, they don't roll these across my monitor. They don't come across my monitor that fast. They have other little side notes that we have to wait on. But anyway, going back to Thursday Night Football, Bills 8-3 at the Patriots 6-5. And in men's basketball, Georgia Tech against Iowa at 9 Eastern. Georgia Tech versus Iowa, 9 Eastern. If you'd like to call in and give us a prediction on Thursday Night Football, Bills 8-3 at the Patriots 6-5, Thursday 8:15 Eastern, please do so. Again, Thursday Night Football will be Bills 8-3 at the Patriots 6-5, Thursday Night Football 8:15 Eastern. Matthew Judon, NFL best 13 sacks this season. Matthew Judon, NFL best 13 sacks this season. Back in the NCAA men's action, Wake Forest versus Wisconsin. That's it. Men's basketball for NCAA, Wake Forest versus Wisconsin coming up at 9 Eastern. Wake Forest against Wisconsin coming up at 9 Eastern. I think Wisconsin might take that one. And we have in football, NCAA top 25 football. Number 5, LSU against number 1, Georgia, 4 Eastern Saturday. That's the SEC championship game. Number 5, LSU against number 1, Georgia, 4 Eastern. That's the SEC championship game. A 5 against a 1. Georgia number 1, LSU number 5. That's going to be a hell of a game. Good luck, my LSU Tigers. Go Tigers. Go Tigers. We got Purdue versus Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. Purdue versus number 3 Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. Interesting. Hopefully LSU can win and Michigan can lose so we can go up. We can go up a spot. We need to get into that for top 4. Number 4 TCU against number 12 Kansas. Number 4 TCU against number 12 Kansas State. TCU and Kansas State. And that should be the Big 12 championship, if I'm correct. That's coming up noon Eastern Saturday. Dr. Pepper Big 12 championship. Number 4 TCU against number 12 Kansas. So that's going to – hopefully Kansas State can beat TCU. Hopefully TCU will fall to Kansas State, and then that will knock them out of the 4th spot and boost LSU up to the 4th spot. Then we have number 6 USC. Number 14, Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. That's 8 Eastern on Friday. Number 6, USC. Number 14, Utah. The Pac-12 championship game, that's coming up 8 Eastern on Friday. That's a Friday game, so I'm going to check that out. We have ACC championship game. Should be number 8, Clemson versus number 17, North Carolina. Number 8, Clemson versus number 17, North Carolina. 8 Eastern on Saturday. That should be the ACC championship game, if I'm correct. Yep, Subway ACC Championship, number 17, North Carolina, number 8, Clemson. Number 8, Clemson against number 17, North Carolina. This should be coming up 8 Eastern on Saturday for the Subway ACC Championship game. So we got a lot of good games for college football. We got number 19, Tulane against number 22, UCF. And that's probably for the American Conference or the Conference USA. We got number 19, Tulane against number 22, UCF. That should be the Conference USA. Well, that's the American Athletic Conference. I'm sorry. The American Athletic Conference, like I said at first, number 19, Tulane against number 22, UCF in the American Championship Conference. American Conference Championship, number 19, Tulane against number 22, UCF. Got some World Cup scores. Again, Senegal 2, Ecuador 1. Like I told you, the guys from Ecuador was heartbroken, laying on the field face down. Keep your heads up, guys. Netherlands 2, Qatar 0. Netherlands 2, Qatar 0. That knocks Qatar, the host, out. They're out. They're not making it to the knockout round because I don't think they even won the game. Netherlands 2, Qatar nothing. Netherlands 2, Qatar nothing. And I don't think Qatar has scored on anybody. So the host country, their product wasn't even ready to be out there. Iran versus the U.S., 2 Eastern. So that's 2 Eastern, that's 11 o'clock Pacific. Iran versus the USA, 2 Eastern. Iran versus the USA, 2 Eastern. So Iran is going to be taking on the United States men's national football team at 2 Eastern. That is 11 Pacific, if I'm correct. Wales against England. Wales against England, 2 Eastern. Wales against England, 2 Eastern. I think that's going to be a good game. Wales gave us a good match, even though it ended in a draw. And they're saying England is like, definitely favored to go into the knockout round. So that's all the scores that I got right now. Again, NHL Lightning against the Bruins, 7 Eastern. Lightning versus the Bruins, that's going to be good coming on, 7 Eastern. I think I was able to get that one in to you, but that's my last score that I'm going to rattle off for now, Lightning against the Bruins, 7 Eastern. So those of you just listening in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California, and the time on deck is 9:19 a.m. It is 59 degrees Fahrenheit, partly sunny here in San Diego, California, and we're going to take a quick station break and get back off into some music mix. Start talking some more about NFL action, NBA action, World Cup, and also opportunities for spring football in the XFL and the USFL, and how I can assist street free agents in taking advantage of those opportunities on their journey to the NFL, if that's even possible. So let's get off into some more music mix. The next couple songs are going to be, well, not songs, but beats. The next beats were produced by a good friend of mine, Keith Chronic, DJ Keith Chronic, San Diego's best underground DJ, San Diego's favorite underground DJ. He is also the owner and president of In The Trunk Clothing. That's NDA Trunk, all separate letters and words, NDA space Trunk, In The Trunk Clothing. So he has his own clothing line, so where when you say In The Trunk, he can pull up on you in his car, pop open his trunk, and then you got all kind of hats, t-shirts, jackets, and stuff like that you can purchase for whether you're a guy or a girl. He has the men's wear and women's wear In The Trunk Clothing, has an urban vibe to it. So definitely check him out, In The Trunk on Twitter. That's at In The Trunk on Twitter, or you can also find it In The Trunk on Facebook as well, at In The Trunk on Facebook. And so speaking of Keith Clizark, he has a book coming out, I believe, next month. Sometime next month, he got a book coming out. He has an album out right now, so you can get more information about his album that he just dropped. Definitely, if you're a DJ or if you're a regular DJ on the radio, you're a DJ on a podcast, DJ on an internet show like mine, DJ on bricks and mortar radio stations, DJ at home, where you're doing the backyard barbecues and all the holiday events. Definitely cop the album from DJ Keep Chronic, In the Trunk Entertainment. In the Trunk Entertainment, if you want to know more about his album and also about his book, you can definitely call in to the show at 515-602-9687, or you can hit me at direct message me on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S. That's at Ferran Sports on Twitter. Just remember the first letter is capitalized, at Ferran Sports on Twitter, all one word. And if you want to DM me about DJ Keith Chronic's two projects, one is out now. That's his album. And it's out on Amazon, Spotify, from In the Trunk Entertainment. And then you got it. Then he has a book coming out as well in December. So if you want to know more about underground, San Diego's favorite underground DJ, San Diego's best underground DJ, DJ Keith Chronic, if you want to know more about his two projects, definitely direct message me or hit him up In the Trunk Clothing on Twitter or Facebook, In the Trunk Clothing. So with that being said, we're going to go off in our music mix and we'll be right back.
Oh,
live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I'm broadcasting live from WBST Chula Vista, California. That's WBST Chula Vista, California. Today's topic is Steelers ride the Colts to victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. The host will recap action from Monday Night Football where the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Indianapolis Colts. The host will discuss action from NBA and share results from NHL and World Cup action. And we have did all of that today. We have went over everything today, all of our scores coming across the monitor. We're waiting the big game with Iran against the United States men's national football team, awaiting that. And so, you know, big day for World Cup action. I just saw Senegal defeat Ecuador across the monitor, 2-1. Like I said, Ecuador guys, keep your heads up. I see seeing you all out there face down on the pitch, kind of upset that you lost. But I can understand that because you don't get to do World Cup every year, if I'm correct. I think it's every 2 years, every 2 to 4 years, somewhere up in there. Call into the show, correct me or debate me on that. 515-602-9687. Guest call in is 515-602-9687. I got a call to action I want to put out. And I'm going to be sharing some, sharing a few things on this. We had the African Zone series this past weekend, if I'm correct. I seen my good friends over in Uganda, Steve over in Uganda, him and my good friend Martin, and some others were putting out a lot of information on the Zone series and their results. I believe Uganda lost to another team. I don't know if it might have been Kenya or what, but I'm going to get it all correct and have all the details on my DMs for this show. But my call to action for my good friend Steve O'King, he is in charge of football, American football in Africa. He's in charge of American football in Africa, and I'm going to tag him in this post. And Steve, forgive me if I pronounced your name wrong and everything like that, but I've been working with Steve O'King and Martin O'Malla as well. Martin, forgive me if I pronounced your name wrong, but basically I've been working with Steve O'King again, and Martin O'Malla. I've been working with both of them over the past couple months trying to help them get American football established over in Uganda. I've been reaching out, asking a lot of the NAIA schools, NCCAA schools, that's National Christian College Athletic Association, up under that banner, keyword being Christian. And a lot of the NAIA schools, they fall up under the NCCAA banner. So I've been trying to hit up those particular type of schools to help get some coaches, equipment, time, finances, all donated to help build American football programs in Uganda. So we're trying to, I had been talking to them about, you know, helping develop a strong flag football system over there for the little kids and the young ladies over there, for all the little kids and the young ladies, definitely by the time they get to the junior high school age, meaning like about anywhere from 10 to 13, you know, getting a basically if we can help build a good flag football system in the elementary schools, is what we call elementary schools. I don't know what they call it over there, maybe over there primary schools or whatever. If we can build a strong flag football system for all the kids, and as they move up, you know, putting them off into a putting the guys into pads, you know, that would be a great thing. It's a grassroots group. The grassroots program, to where basically we're trying to help establish American football in Uganda. They can't go out and just go buy a ball from Walmart, go buy some equipment from Dick's Sporting Goods and all that there and go out and start playing football. They can't go and just join an established team that already has equipment and everything readily available, and they can just say, okay, tell your mom to pay for your registration fee, $100 for your registration fee, and then, you know, tell her to go buy your cleats, and then we'll provide the pads, the uniforms, the helmet, all that stuff. It's not like that in Uganda. They have nothing. They have nothing. They're working on a less than a shoestring budget just to try to get their African Zone series off, which, again, I believe Uganda lost to Kenya, if I'm correct. Or if I'm correct, it said something. It said, like, Uganda fell to an East African team. But, and I believe they was also supposed to be playing a flag football game between Zimbabwe and somebody. Zimbabwe, Tanzania, or something like that. I may have it wrong. So, again, Steve, forgive me. Martin, forgive me if I got the details on the show wrong, but I'll add the correct details in the DMs on my Twitter page, and you guys can comment on it and correct me as well. Or if you're listening now, you can call into the show and correct me at 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. But I know that Steve O'King, he was doing a whole lot of media stuff over in Uganda. He was on different sports talk shows over in Uganda trying to you know, push the initiative for American football to be brought to Uganda. And, I mean, it's the sad part about it. This is not really a hard thing to be done. That's why I'm going to start reaching out to some of my higher-level sports agents and asking them to go through their client roster, see who would be willing to donate or willing to help. And also reaching out to my good friend. Well, I say he's my good friend, but, you know, I met Troy Vincent in a networking event. And he was very instrumental in me getting a meeting in the NFL front office with his staff about some stuff that I was, you know, presenting to them, which was another call to action. So I'm going to reach out to him. I know he's doing a lot with flag football around the world for the Olympics. So I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to ask him if he would talk to the NFL players of African descent and see if we can get a call to action to get some funds over there and get some coaching and stuff over there to help establish a legitimate football program in Uganda, and then let it branch out from Uganda to the other regions around Uganda. It can be done. The sad part about it, money and time has to be donated. And we got all these different coaches that these religious institutions that offer football, they can go over there and help put this in place. It's just trying to get more people listening to this show. But this is my call to action. I want you to, next year for the African Zone series, I want it to be structured, organized. I want to already have a flag football system into the elementary schools for the small kids. I want them to start studying football just like they were studying math. I want the girls and the boys to know the rules, how to play, good sportsmanship, all this stuff. Now I was told that U22 was over there. I think I'm going to reach out to them and see what their stance is on this stuff. But I was told that U22 football, they was coming over there trying to help teach the game and stuff, and that's noble. And I'm glad to know that they're doing something. But I think that we need to step up a little bit more. I don't have the money. And at this age, you know, with a few different injuries that I have, we're not going to get too deep off into that, but I don't do a whole lot of travel due to some injuries that I have to even go over there. But at the same time, me going over there, I would just be in the way. They need coaches. They need coaches. That's who they need over there, coaches, and they need equipment. Coaches that can donate at least 3 weeks at a time to go over there and take the equipment with you to give to the kids for the flag football and the kids that's old enough to learn how to play football in pads. I would say high school age kids, you know, to teach them how to play 4 years of padded football so they could probably start trying to get an opportunity to come over here and go to school and to play. Come over here and go to school and to play. So I'm just going to be reaching out to everybody in my network, people that has combines and all kind of stuff that does testing, that does drills. I'm going to be reaching out to everybody to see what they can do over there to help. And no, it's not going to be any money involved. But if we put together a strong program, let's say within the next 10 to 15 years, it could be an opportunity not only them to be economically impacted in a positive way, for the people that's volunteering and helping to be economically impacted in a positive way. Now, I say you can't come into any conversation talking about money first. Money can be made, but right now we got to build it. What if we did? What if people that work with me to build this program in Uganda, what if we did make it profitable? What if we did start getting players over there developed and bring them over here and manage them through their NFL career, through their college, high school career, college career, NFL career? This can be done. I'm not telling anybody that you want to do something and don't want to make any money. I say charity and donation right now, and we'll talk money down the line once things get established and established properly. Once the infrastructure gets built to put football in Uganda, once the infrastructure is built and it's sustainable, then we can start talking about, okay, well, for me to continue the program or continue on with it, this is the stake I want out of it. This is what I want to generate financially out of it. Okay, that's fine, because we've been established the groundwork. The infrastructure is there. It's running. It's sustainable. It's going to stay there and keep running. And we can do that. It can be done. But right now, I need donations, charity, goodwill to go over there and build this program in Uganda. I'm on a one-year mission to make that Uganda's own series a little bit better than it was this year. Just year at a time, 1 year at a time, 1 year at a time, because I gave them my word. I gave Steve O'King my word. I gave Martin O'Malley my word that I would help, and that's what I'm trying to do. If I can't do nothing but put the word out here, go to the Catholic churches, see what they can do in my area, continue to contact the schools, continue to contact the NFL, I'm going to do my part, because I gave the people in Uganda my word that I would help establish American football in Uganda, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep on helping, and I believe if I keep on doing my job, I can be successful in implementing a program over there. And I know those people over there, I know the citizens in Uganda will be thankful, because I'm trying to help impact that region economically through sports. They understand what American football can do for their region. They understand what it can do. Like I said, we take things for granted over in the United States. We can go outside and just play football. We can go outside and go buy a ball, go to a sports field, a good sports field, a good playground, and just play football. We can do that over there. Those people over there those citizens over there, and the kids, the boys and girls there, they can't even afford a ball. They can't go to Walmart and go buy a football. They need us to send them one. They need us to send them equipment, things that they need to play and learn how to play correctly and safely. They need to be taught concussion protocol, all these different things like that, how to hit properly without hurting themselves or hurting the fellow players. This can be done. So I'm doing a call to action right now. It takes some time not to do a call to action, because this morning I woke up, and as I was trying to open my eyes, I was just looking at the photos that Steve O'King and others. It was another young man. He's a coach over there. He followed me, and was in. I looked on his page, and he had a lot of photos from the game. So all I'm saying is that going into 2023, have a giving heart. I'm doing this call to action because somebody from another country reached out to me and said, hey, man, you know, we need help, and estimated maybe $3,000 to $7,000, $3,500 to $7,500, somewhere up in there, which is pennies to an NFL. If I was to call Patrick Mahomes and ask him for that, he could write the check today and just send it and write it off on taxes. The average NFL player that's just on the 53-man roster could do that. in most cases. Or a couple guys on a practice squad could do that. It's not even any money. We got to be better. Like I said, somebody reached out to me and asked me for some help. That's just the way my heart is. I'm light, not darkness. I'm love, not hate. I'm light, not darkness. I'm love, not hate. I'm not going to let somebody ask me for help and don't try to help them. Like I told Steve O'King and I told Martin O'Malley, I said, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. It's hard to live in California. It's very expensive. I don't have any money. But I know I have a mouthpiece. I know I have a platform. And this platform right now, I'm using it to ask for help. I keep tagging these schools. I keep tagging these different entities, people in these posts. Now, I've had guys, just to let people know who's listening globally, I have had people say that they want to help, and they'll help. But they're asking either for more details or they're asking for compensation to go. And I'm telling you, I said, I don't have the compensation to go. And some of these guys have been overseas already. I'm like, I don't have the compensation to give you. We're building something grassroots. All you got to do is go there and implement the infrastructure. It's not about money right now. It's an untapped resource. All we got to do is go. All we got to do is get the people that need to be there, the coaches, head coaches, but people that have head coaching experience, and the players that can teach the positions. Okay? That's what we need. People that's been in a head coaching situation, whether it be high school or whether it be college, positions, and assist and be assistant coaches and position coaches. That's what we need. And when you go over there, we need you to load up some equipment and some boxes and take it over there. At least enough to outfit 2 to 4 teams. And that's why it becomes a collective effort. If I had a person in the NFL right now, Tagovailoa or Patrick Mahomes, which I know the agents for both of them, and I'm going to reach out to those agents to say, hey, man, can you help us? Can you ask them to help us? Can you ask them to help us do this? You know, so it's a mess. I may be forced to start a nonprofit organization for the football initiative in Uganda. I may be forced to start a nonprofit and get a SEC Securities and Exchange Commission clearance because we are asking for money, and I want people to feel safe spending their money. I don't want the money. It's going to go into a trust fund and get issued out to send the money at different intervals over there to Steve O'King so they can implement all the coaches and everything with what they need to make it happen. So, again, this is a call to action for the Uganda Zone Series. So, with that being said, or the African Zone Series. I can't remember exactly how, but it's the Zone Series for either Uganda or the African Zone Series, whichever one. But we're trying to implement football in Uganda heavily and then let it branch out to the neighboring countries in the region. So, anyway, moving off of that call to action, I got one more favor, one more call to action before we close out the show. I'm at about 480 streams right now. I'm about a combination of 480 streams and downloads right now on the show for Stogies and Beer. Call to action is I need everybody to help me get 20 more streams before the day is over with. I want to get 500 streams. Before the day is over, I want to get 500 streams. So that's 20 streams. All I need is 20 streams. All I need is 20 people globally. 20 people globally. If I could get 10 from the U.S. and 10 worldwide, streams, that's all I need. I can either get 20 from America, 20 globally. 20 in America, 10 I can get 20 streams in America. I can get 20 streams outside of America globally combined. That would be great. That would put the show at 500 streams. And if I can get 500 streams today, that's going to be a milestone because I'm going to celebrate that tomorrow. I'm going to celebrate it as soon as we get to 500. We'll get to 500. We'll get to 500, and probably based on the math, we'll get to 500 in about 2 weeks. But I want to get to it today because it's only two streams. It's only 20 streams. So if I can get to, if I can get 20 streams today, that'll put me at 500 listeners. 20 streams and downloads combined, that'll put me at 500 listeners. So please, can I get your help out there to help the Stogies and Beer Radio Show reach the 500 stream platform? And that's going to help us attract advertisers to come on the show and advertise on the show. And if you're a small business, and you, and this is a small business show. It's not a big business show. It's a small business show. We cater to the small business. We people that's marginalized is who this show champions. This is who we celebrate. Small businesses, underground hip-hop artists and producers, street free agent athletes, that's who we champion on this show. This is what this show is made of. We're not trying to go after people that don't need us. We're trying to go after people that need us, that need a platform, a growing platform. I grew this show from grassroots, and I feel pretty proud. I've been doing this since July 5th, and I'm about to hit 500 streams and downloads. I'm about to hit 500 streams and downloads. Now, some of you might be sitting out there saying, oh, well, why don't you have 500 streams a day? Because it's called marketing and advertising, growing a product in the United States, plus growing it globally. But because we talk a lot of football, and football is now the new global sport, and I'm not talking about soccer, as we call it in the United States. Yeah, global football has always been a global sport. Basketball has been a global sport for a minute, but football is the new global sport, and football is beginning to be the most popular. That's why they want football in Uganda. They see the economic impact that it could have if a couple kids from over in that area can come over here and play in college and then go to the NFL and bring that money back to their community. They know, they see the economic impact. Nobody, it makes sense. That's why they're trying to get football over there. But at the same time, I need you guys to help me get 20 streams today. 20 streams today. You put me at 500 streams since I've been doing this show. And I feel pretty good about that because that's almost saying that at least I'm getting 100 listeners a month. And for me, not being on a exclusive blog talk platform package, you know, that's good for me at the level that my show was at. So we're attracting small business advertisers. So hopefully if you guys could help me get 20 streams today, just not asking a lot, just asking everybody to listen to the 20 people to listen to the show today, that's what I need. Whether you're listening now or whether you can go back and listen later, that would be great. All I need is 20 streams. I'm going to be putting this on Facebook, on Twitter and Facebook, this call to action to help me reach 500 streams today. That's going to be a milestone for us. So hopefully in the morning I'll be saying thank you so much. But whatever you can do, I thank you. Whatever you can't do, I thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close the show out and everything like that when I come back. So stand by. We're going to take a quick station break and come back and close out the show and set black and fade off. Stand by. Hello and welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The Stogies and Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast and debate about the sport that he or she loves the most. Today's topic was Steelers ride the Colts to victory. Pittsburgh defeats Indy on Monday Night Football. The host will recap action from Monday Night Football where the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Indianapolis Colts. The host will discuss action from the NBA and share results from NHL and World Cup action. Right now we're waiting on the game between the U.S. men's national team. Good luck to you guys for the U.S. men's national team as you guys take on and hopefully defeat Iran. So we'll see what happens with that. We need to win that game to go into the knockout rounds. If we lose today, we're out of it. But good luck to the U.S. men's national team. I want to encourage everybody out there to pray for Brittany Griner that she gets brought home safely very soon. I want to ask everybody to pray for the people in Ukraine that this war ends. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't even want to be taking part in this war, get drafted to take part in the war. Pray for them, too. I want to ask you to pray for peace around the world. I want everybody to love one another, treat everybody as you want to be treated. Remember, there's only one race. That's the human race. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember to get your COVID-19 boosters. Keep your mask on in crowded spaces. Keep your hands sanitized and stay safe from monkeypox. And make sure you get your flu shots. With that being said, this has been Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And we will see you tomorrow. Definitely go and help us get those 20 streams that we need to reach 500 today. So with that being said, have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow. Set black, fade off.